Our Father, we thank you because of your word that's coming forth to our hearts this evening. We thank you because you will cause that word to multiply abundantly. Now you cause our lives, Father, to be a manifestation of the truth that is in that word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's quickly run off with what we have to do today. What I will be sharing with us on is a continuation of what we have been speaking about in the last few sessions, and that's on destined to reign. We have explained that God's plan, but I think I should just go over a few points that we have been able to get across clearly on the matter. And number one is the fact that God has a purpose. We read from Isaiah chapter 45. When we're reading Isaiah chapter 45, we read that he said that I have sworn, and the word has gone forth from my lips and will not return to me. What did I swear? He said that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. He said they will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. He said men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. That's from verse 24 of Isaiah chapter 45. So we explained there that God has a purpose, and that he has said in Psalm 110, he said that sit at my right hand. He was speaking to the Lord. In fact, the way the psalmist said it, it was simple. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. He said, the Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, what I want to bring out from there is that God has a purpose. God has a purpose. He has proposed something very strongly in his heart, and he has sent the word forth, which will bring that into pass. And that word is that to him, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. Now, when we're examining this, we read from Revelation chapter 17, and that was describing again the purpose of God. He said that that is the way by which God will do the thing he's about to do. If you read Revelation chapter 11, there, he said that the whole earth has become the kingdom, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And we explained, reading from Revelation chapter 17, that this is how this will happen. Yes, Jesus will take over, but there is a way by which he will do it. In Revelation chapter 17, he was describing the kings that gave the authority to the beast. And he said they will wage war against the Lamb, but that the Lamb will overcome because he is the Lord of lords and he is King of kings. And we explained that the reason why he will overcome is because of the lords and the kings that he's reigning over. That in the same manner that the kings gave the authority to the beast, these ones also will give the authority to the Lamb. And that these lords and the kings are the believers that Jesus has caused to be born on the earth. He said that I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. Now, so that we explain that, and I emphasize very strongly explaining that Jesus is not going to reign per se by his own power. But what will happen is that he told the disciples, all power in the heavens and on the earth has been given unto me. He said, go therefore, that is, I am giving you my power and my authority. Go and take over kingdoms. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the end of the earth before the end will come. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what am I bringing up from there? That he has empowered the people to go and overcome. That is, it's as those people overcome and receive authority on this earth, that they will now subject the authority that they have received to the king, to their king. So there are many kings, therefore, they will now give their own authority to the king. And it is with their authority that the Lamb will overcome. We explained that in previous sessions, and I explained it very well. Now, the thing we said last time was what we discussed on the topic. What was the topic again? Grace for promotion. Yes, and I explained that. I would like to summarize that in just a few sentences. That God is not going to promote people just because they are his children. That it is not that God will look and say, I don't care how bad they are. Once they name the name of Christ, they will be the head and not the tail. That is his purpose, actually, that every one of his child will be a head and not the tail. But the way he will do it is that he will pour forth the spirit of excellence upon all of them. And it is with those undeniable abilities that even the world will consciously crown these people as kings and as lords. So that's very important we get that clear. Our good example was Daniel. Another example we used was Joseph. That the lives of these two people, something was found in it. That in fact, when they were going to describe Daniel, the king of the mother of the king, that's Belteshazzar, came to the king when there was a problem. He said, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him." Let me quickly summarize it. Verse 12, he said, "This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and most importantly, the solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel." Now, it is because of that God appointed, that is, the king followed the purpose of God and appointed Daniel as ruler virtually over all the land. In fact, the time they plotted against Daniel, it was because the people found out, that is under the reign of Darius, that Darius was about to enthrone Daniel over everything that was happening. And because of that, the people plotted. Now, but there was a reason why Darius wanted to enthrone Daniel. It was not because he liked him and there was just a glory upon his face. No, it was because he found the man to be excellent in everything that he did. He found that this was a man he could commit every affair of the state into his hand and he would suffer no loss. In fact, when the people were trying to bring up an allegation against him, the Bible testifies that in the matters of the state, in the matters of the king, in the matters of administration, in the matters of finances, there was no lapse, no negligence, no corruption was found in Daniel. But everything that he did with excellence. That was what we explained last time, and I believe that we got the point. And anybody that's listening to this that was not here then can easily get the tape or the CD of the previous message, or go there to the internet and listen to it free of charge. All right. Now, having put those points in place, I want to go on to something else today. I want to title today's message, Wisdom for the Upright. Now, remember, we have established that God needs his kings and his lords to be able to fulfill his purpose on the earth. That he is not trying to, that's the second thing, is that he's not trying to empower people that have no substance. But rather, he's pouring forth the spirit of excellence into the people that he's empowering. That is the second thing. And that it is by this spirit of excellence inside them that the people will become undeniable heads. That even those who don't like them, like those who were against Daniel, they recognize that Daniel was still the head. Now, so I want to go on from there and talk about what I call wisdom for the upright. And in starting out, I'd like to read a few portions of the scriptures that are very important. First of all, let us read from Isaiah chapter 2. Now, in this, we are talking more again upon on the issue of the plan of God, Isaiah chapter 2. Now here, if we read from verse 2, it said, "Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. They will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war.'" Please listen to this very carefully. He said, "Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob." Why? Because they are filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Now, let me just stop there. We may read the rest of it at another time. But I want to emphasize something here again about the purpose of God for this life. God said, "It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. And everybody will run to it. And they will say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord,
that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. There is something I want to explain today which is very important, and I believe that everybody should listen to this very carefully. There is one problem Christians have, and it is not just a problem of Christians, it's a problem of human beings, which Christians learned, you know, being human beings, they carried it into the practice of Christianity. If you go into most of the occult, what goes on in there, nobody understands. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, Christianity has deep things. Now, let me get that clear. There are things in Christianity that are deep that most people can't understand. However, it is not because God is hiding them. It is because people have not yet done what is necessary to come to understand the ways of God. Now, let me say this again. God is not abstract like other religions practice, you know. What they stand for, you don't understand. You find somebody says he's a monk. You know, he lives as a hermit somewhere. He's not imparting his generation. Now, he claims to be having the knowledge of God, but that knowledge we have already seen here is not bringing anything down to the earth. Therefore, his knowledge is irrelevant. Do you understand the point I'm making? And Christianity is not like that. We are not, as believers, supposed to walk around feeling as if what we are doing, nobody can understand. Now, listen to this. Indeed, what you will do that nobody will understand will be done in secret. That's what I want to understand. That is, your faith, I'm not saying everybody will be able to understand it. In fact, Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. That is, don't go to people who have no understanding of faith and be declaring your faith to them, expecting them to have understanding. Now, if you are not allowed to do that, then how come you are going to be able to witness to the whole world? Because Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, listen, if you go and read the book of Acts, when Philip went to the city of Samaria, the people gave heed to his words. When they saw these miracles and the signs that were done by his hands, Paul said, I did not come with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration, and that's what I want to understand. I want to underscore. In the demonstration of spirit and power. That is, it is a demonstration that God expects you to use to witness to this generation. That's what I'm coming to. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It is the demonstration of the spirit. Now, that word is what I want to emphasize. Demonstration. Spiritual things can be demonstrated. You know, I was teaching my medical students during the week, and I was explaining something to them that one of the ways you know a fresh doctor that doesn't know too much is that if you tell him to come and explain some medical issues to the lay public, the people gathered are not doctors. They are not nurses. They are not pharmacists. They are not people that are enlightened in the things of medicine. An inexperienced doctor that doesn't know much, we go there and start speaking big words. He will start telling them about salmonella. He will start telling them about incubation period. He will be explaining difficult words about flagella, things that people cannot relate with. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, he will not be able to communicate to the people because he himself does not have a deep understanding of the things that will happen. I told you, Kingsley, some time ago, I went to testify before a judicial panel headed by the current chief judge of Enugu State. He was the chairman of that panel, and it was upon some autopsies I had conducted. And as I read out my report, while the lawyer was cross-examining me, after reading out the report, I'll say, please let me explain. And I noticed that this learned judge put his hand like this and was listening with utmost attention. There were about 7 people on the panel. And anyway, let me cut the story short. At the end of the day, when I finished the testimonies, he said, doctor, I must confess that I thought these things were not understandable by people until you came today. That is, I will read out my report, what is written in there. I said, now let me break it down to you. And in simple words, I will tell the man exactly what I am saying. And the man, look, you mean? He will look and like, you mean this thing is as simple to comprehend? Yes, because I understand what I'm saying. Do you understand the point I'm making there? I am aware of the concepts therein. I am not a young doctor who has just learned little. I know the depths of the things that I am saying. Do you follow me? So when I relate to a man that is a layman in my field, I am able to persuade him, not with enticing words of wisdom, but rather by demonstration of the depth of my understanding. Do you get the point I'm making there? That is, it is not that Look, Oga, you know, this is a medical issue, and since you are a legal man, you can't understand. Let me just leave it. Just take my word for it. Take my word for it. This was what killed the man. That's not the point. It's not just take my word for it. No. I know what I am saying, and I can persuade you by the things that I understand. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. That is, God is not expecting us to walk like we are not on this earth. In fact, one of the reasons why I enjoy Oswald Chambers so much is that he emphasizes these things to Christians. That you can go up on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, and see God face to face. But you still have to come down from the mountain and relate with men on their level. Do you follow my point? That is, you will not go there describing what is going on the Mount of Transfiguration. But what you saw on the Mount of Transfiguration will affect your life as it is present before them. And they will see it and know that indeed you have been somewhere that we did not get to. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, Daniel walked before the king, and the king's wife noticed that this man had an excellent spirit. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar appointed Daniel because wherever you are getting this wisdom from, I don't understand it, but the wisdom is real. In fact, it is like you have the spirit of the holy gods. Are you getting me? But Daniel was not walking before him saying that, king, you cannot understand what is going on. That was not what Daniel was doing. What Daniel was doing was simple. There is a problem. Daniel will provide a solution. They have kingdoms with hundreds of millions of people inside. How do we account from the revenue from every corner? Daniel will provide a solution. At the end of the day, when you gather all the accountants in the land, they will not be able to bring out a solution that Daniel will bring out in a second. Do you understand my point? So the king looked and said, inside this man dwells the spirit of the holy gods. I was watching during the week. Richard Quest of CNN was in Nigeria. So they are airing the interviews and the things he encountered in Nigeria right now on CNN. And they, you know, he had an interview with the finance minister, Okonjo-Iweala. And what I'm bringing out the issue was the issue of corruption. And they brought out the issue of corruption. And the woman explained the problems with corruption and how much the president is doing about it. And something came to my mind, the spirit of Daniel. I said that, you see, this is what God is saying. When his man gets there, and you just appoint this man to a place, and God will just give him one little bit of wisdom, and that will solve corruption in 1 year that Nigeria have not been able to battle to overcome for decades. Are you getting my point? It is not that the man will come out before national broadcast and say, let us speak in tongues for 5 minutes. Warm up your spirit. Everybody speak in tongues. Shogolo, 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 shogolo. That is not the issue. He can speak in tongues in his bedroom. But when he comes before the Council of State, when he comes before the Executive Council, he will have a word to speak that will solve the problem of the nations. Where he got the word from is not their business, but he will have that word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that was why the Bible was saying here, it said, in the last days, people will come to such people and said, teach us the ways. Now get this point clear. It is because they recognize that these things can be taught. Do you follow the point I'm making? The things can be taught. Let me say something to you clearly. God made... Now open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. Now this is very important. Now wisdom was speaking. I want to read the words of wisdom from verse 12. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Now listen to this carefully. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Listen, power is mine. Now I want you to notice that word power. That is, by the understanding I produce, power will be released upon the earth. Now get this clear. That is, if it is electricity that is a problem, by my understanding, you will generate electricity. Are you getting my point? If it is violent crime that is a problem, by my understanding, you will generate enough power to overcome violent crime. He said, I am understanding. Power is mine. Listen, by me, kings reign. Follow that. And rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. Now, please, verses 15 and 16, let me go by it again. We are talking about destined to reign. And God is saying here, the only way by which a king will reign is by wisdom. Listen, there are two things that confer authority upon you on the earth. Number one, you can just be stated as having authority. That is one. Number two, there will be a demonstration of your ability to hold authority. so that people will submit to themselves. People will submit to you by themselves. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Samuel, I told you last time, was never declared before everybody, this is the next ruler of Israel. Nobody called him this prophet of God in Israel. What just happened was that the Bible says that none of the words that he spoke fell to the ground. God ensured that everything that Samuel said, he confirmed it. And the people observed it. And by themselves, they subjected themselves to Samuel. The same thing with David. God anointed David as the king after Saul. That was another issue. But before the people crowned David as king, they themselves came and opened their mouth and said, while Saul was alive, we had noticed that you are the one that was defending us. You are the one that was really our leader. We have seen the power of God demonstrated in your life. My pastor in Lagos was saying something many years ago when I was in Louth. He came there to teach. He was talking about this demonstration of power that I'm talking about. He didn't use these words, but get what I'm saying clearly. He said he was supposed to take over in a fellowship that somebody else started when he was on campus. Now, because he was a relatively younger person as a believer than other people, and even more, a newer member of the fellowship, yet the founding guy who was about to leave the school and go abroad said, this is the man who will take over. The people who were senior to him were not happy with the idea. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? So, he told them that, let us solve the problem. Let nobody claim authority. Let's just go there and perform. I don't know why you get what I'm saying. He said, so the simple thing is that everybody started preaching. And after he preached for a while, the whole fellowship knew that indeed the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That it is not by shouting, I am the head. No. Solve a problem that all the tails and the necks and the bodies could not solve. Then they will know you are the head. Do you follow me? I mean, if you have been to school, you will know some lecturers that are so good that even if they are not your lecturer, you will listen to what they are saying. Yet, you will know some who are confirmed professor. The man will talk something, you will just turn your nose like he doesn't know what he's saying. He bears a title, but he does not have the power to demonstrate that authority. Are you getting what I'm saying there? So he said, the wisdom was speaking, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. He said that power is mine. Understanding is mine. Now, let me just go on. Emphasis, let me go down to the point I want to make. Verse 22. He said, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. He said, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Now, I want you to understand something here. Now, let me just read some more. Let me read 27. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea's boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, notice verse 30. Then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight. Now, let me stop there. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. Here, the Lord was explaining the principle of creation, and he was saying that it was by wisdom I did this thing. That's what I was saying in effect. That is, there is a technique. Now, get that word. There is a technique by which I made the skies stand above. Do you understand my point? He said, there is a technique by which I spoke to the waters not to cross a particular area. There is a way by which I do these things. Now, most of us have looked at it as if God has just spoken. It is just his word. Now, I agree with that. You have heard me teach about the word of his power. But what I want to emphasize here is this. When God does work, listen, he can teach the wisdom on how to repeat it to somebody else. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this very carefully. God has methods for doing things. Now, the methods grow, they vary in levels. There are basic ones that God can teach to people. Now, let me explain that what I'm saying very clearly here. When he was talking about wisdom, he was talking about practical methods by which things can be done. I don't know whether you're following me. Listen. Let us assume that God wanted to make the sun. Thank you very much. So in one word, he said, let the sun be. But the word, now listen to this. The word was full of power. Do you understand my point? Because like Gabriel said, no word of God shall be void of power. Every word that God gives is full of power. Now, this guy here is saying wisdom. That understanding is mine. Power is my own. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is when he said, let the sun be. There were things that were released in the words of the sun that we now currently call nuclear fission. And physicists have been able to decode up to a particular level. Do you understand my point? That is, the sun is shining. But physics learned it so much that they can tell you the methods by which the sun is shining. I don't know whether you're getting me. That is, God made the sun by wisdom. Then he took a bit of the wisdom he used to make the sun and put in the heart of somebody. And the person created this very tiny size of sun that did not last for more than 10 seconds, but it is a small sun. And it worked. You call it an atomic bomb. The same thing that blew up Hiroshima is what blows up in the sun constantly. That we go for generations, for millions of years, and will not end. But a little bit of the degree of wisdom with which God did it, he gave to somebody. That is why he said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That when God creates, if he tells you the most basic, the most foolish of the methods for creation, and you use it on the earth, you will create something no human being has ever seen before. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, wisdom with God is not abstract. The problem is that we are unable to comprehend the depths of his wisdom. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, there is no problem on earth that does not have a technology of solving. Now listen to this. It is those technologies of solution that God gave to Joseph, and people recognize that indeed the Spirit of God must be inside him. Are you following my point? That is, everything happening on the earth, there is a creative ability necessary to bring an end to a problem. Everything that is needed on earth, there is a creative ability necessary to bring solution to that particular thing. What God does is to give one of his kings and his Lord a small fraction of the creative wisdom that gives the person power on the earth. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, listen, what do you call it? Lightning. Lightning that if it flashes once, it will illuminate the whole horizon. It uses exactly the same principle as in current inside your house. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the first man to invent a capacitor. Listen to this. I've forgotten his name now. What do you call a capacitor? It's something that, okay, let me say a battery. All right? Something that can store a charge, like a battery. The first man to invent it, when he touched it, the electricity he received, he described it as jolting like a thunderbolt. Are you getting my point? That is, God allowed him a little bit of wisdom and he was able to create lightning. Now, every day, God blows lightning in the skies. By his wisdom, he has put lightning in place. So he said, okay, guys, if you want a lightning flash to take photographs, I can give you a little bit of wisdom to make it. So he puts a little bit of wisdom inside somebody. And because of the capacity in human beings to learn that God created them to have, do you follow me? That capacity allows somebody to design a small lightning. He puts it on top of a camera and is able to give you a flash of light. It is the same thing. There is no difference between the lightning in the camera and the one that's inside the skies. What am I saying? The creative power of God can be broken down into wisdom steps. The only thing is that human beings can never, no matter how much you try, get to the full extent of God's creative abilities. Do you understand my point? But he has created you to be able to receive a little bit of it. So God will give you a small wisdom, and the whole legal problems of Nigeria will be solved in a week. And you say, how did he do it? He said, my God, I don't know for that fellow. There is a spirit inside him. The inspiration of the Almighty did what? Gave him understanding. And wisdom said, understanding is mine. When I give you understanding, you produce power. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is why all the original scientists of the earth were Christians. The people that downloaded things from heaven, it was given to them by God. I told you about laser beams. That the man, Charles Townes, who invented the laser, he said he sat down in a park and inspiration came upon him. He went to his laboratory and began to work. A few years down the line, they invented what you now call laser. Get me? Laser is just light, simple light. But they developed the method to concentrate it in a particular fashion that you can burn through metal with light. I remember when I was in school then, our urologist, he was telling us about laser surgery. He said if you are using laser, if you are doing a laser surgery, you have to be careful that the laser beam does not enter anybody else's eyes because it will blind the man. A little bit of power with understanding that God gave the man, he invented what you call laser. Now all of us read compact disc. We do all kinds of things with that same thing called laser. Why? Because by the inspiration of the Almighty, he got a little bit of wisdom and then something came out of his being that was a creative power on the surface of the earth. Are you following my point? What I'm saying isn't coming with you clearly. That is, you see, Christians don't understand that God is not trying to... Listen. God told Moses, in the wilderness, I gave you manna which you did not know. But in the promised land, there's no manna. You will cultivate the earth. I will teach you the techniques of agriculture. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm making. That is, when you get to the promised land, what will mark you different from the other people is that by the wisdom I will give you, where their own land produces one bushel of grain, yours will produce 50. That is the reason why they will come and say, hey boys, let us just go to Israel. Let us go to the house of Jacob, or the house of the God of Jacob, that he might teach us his ways. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not that we just do like this. No, I told that Christians, they don't want to grow up. They are living in the wilderness. Do you get my point? They are living in the wilderness, living by miracles. You understand? Brethren, just stretch forth your hand and something is going to happen. Listen to me, it is a wilderness life. First you become sick, then he cures your sickness. It's wilderness life. He said first he will make you hungry and then he will feed you with manna that you did not know where it came from. It is a life of the wilderness. The proper life is that you will go to a land that the mountain, he said, out of the hills you can dig copper. You have to dig it. The copper will not rain from heaven. You will dig it. Do you get the point I'm making? It said that it is watered by the rains of heaven, but you have to plant. It said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Do you follow my point? What wisdom gives you is the ability to manipulate seed time so that when harvest time comes, you will have an abundance of harvest. That's why I told Adam at the beginning, cultivate it and keep it. It was not sit down and harvest the fruit. We used to think that God made Adam so that he would just roam around the garden. Eve, what do you want to eat today? That one said, I want to eat cucumbers with grapefruit and mangoes. Then he would go around, go and look for cucumbers. No, that was not it. The design of God is that one day, Eve will be far away, Adam will be somewhere else. And Adam will whip out his mobile phone, dial Eve and say, where are you? He said, I'm with your children. Do you get the point I'm making? The design of God is that one day Adam will say, why will hot water not run in my house? And he will invent the methods of producing electricity, which God will give him as a dose of wisdom. Do you follow the point I'm making? What am I saying? That is the spirit of excellence that will crown the people of God as kings. Not to network as a cult, you know what I mean? As a Christian, I only patronize Christians. No. That is a cult. That's a cult activity. What God wants from Christians is that Even unbelievers will patronize you because they wouldn't have a choice. That if they want something good, they have to patronize you. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what God wants from Christians. It is not to, oh, listen, all the, I've told you, this one of advertising miracles, people are always looking for miracles, is a wilderness life. Listen to me, I am not saying it's an evil life. It's a stage in life. People have to learn to go beyond that stage in life. A point must come in your life when you will realize that I am not going to wait to be hungry, then to be fed with manna. No, that I will cultivate the land and God will pour water upon the seed that I have sown and I will bring forth the harvest. Are you getting me? That where other people are getting a hunger, and listen to me, it is not just that I don't know, my own things are just like this. Like where everybody's getting 10, I get 50. No, God will say, listen, this is a problem. This land is not fertile. He said, what will I do? Do shifting cultivation. It's technology. Do you understand my point? That he said, listen, now, next year, I don't want to plant corn. Plant legumes. I want legumes to fertilize your land back for you. We think God just works by these spontaneous miracles. Now, listen, it does only as a wilderness period. You understand my point? Then a time comes to grow to maturity. Because that is the reason why people will come to you and say, come and teach us his ways. It can be learned. The problem is that people don't remember to acknowledge the source of wisdom. Do you understand my point? Like we were saying the other day, that he said, behold, it is the Lord thy God. Thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. The wealth will not rain from heaven. Do you follow what I'm saying? What God will give is what? The power to get it. So when God gave Bill Gates Windows, it was his power to get wealth. If God gives you the ability to solve problems, that one becomes your power to get wealth. Do you understand my point? And listen, when God puts a spirit inside you, you can teach other people the methods. The problem is this. Now, let me say the difference is that because you have the spirit, you have a spirit of constant innovation. Anybody learning from you is always behind you. Do you get the point I'm making? You have that spirit. So every time you get to an obstacle, you have the spirit. You will decode the next level of wisdom to use. Then they will follow you and learn the wisdom. But they can only keep on walking until a new obstacle comes. Then they call you again. Do you understand my point? Listen, Daniel was out of power for a period. And the kingdom was prospering. Why? I believe, this is my opinion, that the man had instituted so much of proper methods of administration and accounting and development that he had taught everybody else in Babylon. So at the point in time, they felt they could do without Daniel, so they retired him. So the man went home and sat down. Then one day, a new problem came. And with all the wisdom he had taught them in their schools, that they had learned the principles of Daniel, a new one came and they had no answer. What shall we do? They had forgotten Daniel. They were using his methods, but they had forgotten him. Now listen, this is why these advanced nations still prosper despite the fact that they deny God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The thing that God has given them is still working. It will continue to work. There's only one problem again. One day, the Spirit of God will blow upon it. And you need new wisdom to go beyond that obstacle. And if you have denied God, all of you, that is where you will end. Because life is always moving. After some time, new challenges will come. If you have detached yourself from the source of life, from the source of inspiration, from the source of wisdom, you will thrive for a period until the new challenges arrive. And that's it. That's the end of wisdom. You don't have it anymore. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm reading all of this to bring out one serious point. That the principle of creation, let's say, I wish people would understand what I'm saying. It is not that God just did like this, wham. Listen, I've had a number of computer experiences in my life. You understand? If you come to my house, there's an old compact. You know, an old compact. The processor is 233 megahertz. And the RAM is 16 megabytes. Now, the one I use after that, which I still use right now, this one you are seeing here, is Pentium 3, 750 megahertz. Now, listen, from 233, this is 750. And the RAM is 128. Now, follow what I'm saying. Now, the other one, the RAM is 32. Now, if you're working on the other one, and let me say you want to save a document, please try and use this one to understand what I'm saying. You will see, okay, let me say, I want to copy something from a floppy disk onto the hard disk. You will see the progress bar moving slowly. You understand? As the thing is copying, then it will finish. If it's on this one, you hardly see it zoom. The thing has gone. Now, there is a new computer I have in my office. That one is a Pentium 4. There is about 2 gigahertz of processor. That is, it is about 2.5 times the speed of this one. And if it's that one I want to use for copying, the progress bar does not show at all. It actually shows, but it's so fast you can't see it. Now imagine a scenario in which I use a 10 gigahertz processor. That is, before I imagine to do it, it has finished doing. Do you understand my point? This is the principle of creation I'm telling you about. God says, let that be. God is operating on an infinitium amount of processing speed. So before he says, let there be, the thing has appeared. But if you could slow it down, you will see the progress bar going. Do you understand my point? God said, you cannot have the creative ability I have to do it the way I do it. But I will slow things down so much and give you a small Pentium half. Then with that Pentium half, you come to the earth with your processor speed that compared to mine is so slow. That is what is called the foolishness of God. Do you understand my point? Then you come amongst men with the same creative ability, but on a much slower scale. You will start inventing things. Now, get my point. There is no electricity. God will give you the knowledge of hydroelectricity. So you use water to generate electric power. Then one day God gives somebody a higher knowledge. Then he uses fire to generate power. Then one day God gives somebody even a higher knowledge. The same technology that brought about the sun. A tiny little infinitesimal dose of it creates for them nuclear power. Are you getting my point? That was why some physicists thought that there is no God. Because they began to understand the wisdom of creation. So they said, we can do it. It's just that we don't have enough knowledge yet. That if we continue to progress, we will be able to do it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I want you to understand that. What happened was that God gave them a bit of knowledge. Actually, God must have given it to somebody that knew him. Then the things of God can be learned. Now, get my point. The wisdom can be taught. God gives you the ability to invent laser. You will teach even a Muslim or an atheist to be able to do it. But that's it. His own will stop there. Then one day will come, his laser will stop working. And he will wonder, why is this thing no longer working? But because he didn't have the wisdom from God, he can't solve it. Then he has to call you back. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what God wants to do for his people is that, listen, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Then verse 2 said, the earth became without form and was void. Now, that became is the correct word, all right? Most Bible say was, all right? But he said, the earth became without form and was void. And darkness came upon the surface of the deep. Now, what am I saying? In Nigeria right now, God created the heavens and the earth, and it's okay. The judicial system is without form and it is void.